This is Shayna.
And Chris.
And we are Bad Queers. If you came out of the closet and got put in a box of stereotypes you don't belong to, then welcome to the Bad Queers Club.
All right. This week in queer... Oh, somebody got a... I was like, ooh. This week in Queer Urban Dictionary, I have AG. AG. AG is a African-American or Latina masculine lesbian and short for aggressive.
Oh.
AG is another word for stud for some queer folks is my example sentence. Okay. I heard AG a lot more when I was growing up and it was like a New York thing for sure.
Yeah.
I don't hear much now.
I have not heard that.
Not in a while.
That's a new phrase for me.
I feel like that. Really? You've never heard AG?
I've never heard AG.
Wow.
Like unless it was like used like Aggie.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, some people do.
I've heard that where it's like, oh, you're being so aggy or aggro.
Wow.
Like, but I've never heard AG.
I haven't heard that. Yeah. No. But it was really a New York thing, like for sure.
And
like,
they'd be like,
oh, AG.
I stayed in my little DC bubble. And that was it.
When they said it in DC and came down through like the clubs and said that, I was just like, oh, okay. And like, you know, kind of look on the internet.
Well, I didn't even really go to queer clubs at that point. I was still going to straight clubs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I have missed out on a solid amount of queer DC.
Yeah.
I've gotten a couple, but I've definitely missed out on like prime years of queer DC, which is
I don't even know what's out there anymore.
We're there. We are there. Yeah. So my Queer Urban Dictionary word of the week is iron closet.
Mm.
Iron closet.
It's about to be.
Uh-huh. It is a gay man who is in such deep denial of his sexuality, he might never step out of the closet.
Mm.
You know,
is that just specific to gay men? Because I feel like like a... Oh.
But I also feel like that could just be anybody who's back in the depths of the iron closet. And my sentence has nothing to do to help explain the definition. It just felt right. So the iron closet is something I feel like they have in the Game of Thrones.
It literally has nothing to do
with the sentence. Nothing to help you understand it.
It does seem the same. I would have went with a man with the iron mask.
Oh,
in the iron closet.
Opportunity.
It was right there. It was right there.
Mm. I'm upset with myself. Well, so that we don't linger on it. Praise Billy Porter. The category is week two of the L Word recap. Week two, because guess what, everybody? Chris still has not watched the L Word.
I have not. I moved this weekend, so I haven't seen the L Word. I haven't seen White Lotus finale. So you're just going to have to be my eyes and ears. And
like the fact that you're even already at the finale. I'm only on like episode 4.
On White Lotus?
Yeah.
Oh, really? See, I didn't know White Lotus. Like, first off, when I first started watching it, I didn't know it was a series. So I like binged it because I was like just addicted. And then I was mad because it was like episode 4 or 5 and I was like, where the fuck is the rest? And then I was like, oh, I caught up, and I was pissed. I get mad when I'm like have to watch it live. So
I just got to the one where she had like the boat funeral.
Oh.
that's where I'm at.
Oh, Jennifer Coolidge.
And I feel like everything is about to just like tip over. But honestly, her character is the character. Like, she is so fucking good at being a mess. It's out of control.
So
like, she figured out what she was good at and has owned it. Has owned it throughout her career.
Yeah. Because it's like, she's so annoying, but then you feel for her, and then obviously funny as fuck, and just, That show.
So impressed.
That show. Good writing.
So
writing, good casting, and everything. But yeah, tell me about episode 2.
All right. Well, you remember we left off with Finley having the caucasity to come in and interrupt the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So of course they started right on the whole argument of like, when did this happen? You can't say shit to me. Blah, 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 blah.
Are they still arguing at the wedding?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, and spoiler alert. I mean, whatever, but spoiler alert.
You
haven't said anything crazy.
You have a week. By the time this comes out, you had a week. Get at me. So then it shows, obviously, Danny has a moment with Finley, which, of course, it's like as she's storming down the hall. I was watching it with my roommate as well. So it was great because both of us are just looking at her like, hit her, hit her. Comes up right full fucking hook.
Ooh. Okay.
At Finley. which was great. Obviously, like, little mess stuff where Sophia is like, I'm not trying to, like, obviously I did the wrong thing, but her sister is holding her accountable, which I just love her sister. Yeah. Her sister is such a good, like, accountability queen. Finley was staying with the friends. Hold on. You know what? While we're doing this, I need to look up Ilya Shang's character name because it's bothering me every time, and I know I'm going to do it every week if I don't look it up right now. So those two, Ilya Shang's character and Sophie's sister, they were chatting. At a wedding. They were, well, this was post wedding, so they were chatting in the kitchen after the wedding, like going through the presents and stuff, and being like, "All right, who do we need to like return this to and make sure that like." They don't, Micah, his character's name is Micah. Much better. So they had to, you know, had to make sure that the presents went back and did whatever. So Finley walks in and Micah is still hooking up with homeboy from the first season. He's married. Mm-hmm. So then he's still hooking up with him. And then Sophia's sister is like, you're the Finley in this relationship. And as soon as she said that, Micah gets up and is like, fuck this, I'm out. I'm going to go and tell him that I'm done. So he has a whole empowering moment. Finley comes back to the office for one day, one single day, which happens to be the same day that Sophia comes back to the office.
Of course.
Is it Sophia or is it Sophie? I feel like it's Sophie. God, I'm terrible. Y'all. I apologize.
But you're recapping this like how an auntie would.
You know, that's my job here. Yeah. That is
where you slightly mess up the names and everything. So
it's absolutely. Like, it's Sophie. Yeah. My bad. It is Sophie. I knew it. Okay. So then Sophie is over here trying to play like, no, I just need the distraction from work and blah, blah, blah. Finley's running around being the great Finley to Alice. Alice meets her editor who happens to be, he's in a bunch of stuff. But he comes in and of course like rips apart her book. And so Alice is all upset. But then her girlfriend is like not being all lovey-dovey and stuff with her and then tells her at the end that she just wants to be polyamorous. And Alice has this whole fit where she was like, you came on my show on live TV and told me that you loved me and only me. It's me, blah, 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 blah. So it was a whole thing there. So I feel like there's going to be a really great open discussion about polyamory. And then, of course, there's this moment where Danny and Micah are sitting in the kitchen, different kitchen, talking, and Micah's like, you can forgive her, you know that you can. So then Sophie had dropped off this plate, but the plate ended up being Sophie's mom's plate, and Micah was like, you don't want to throw that away because you know that's Sophie's mom. So she comes back over, Danny brings it back to the house to go and talk to Sophie real quick. And as they're talking, you have this like brief moment of hope that they're gonna get back together. And then of course Danny remembers that, you know what, bitch, you embarrassed the fuck out of me on our wedding day and had all this happen and had the nerve to cheat.
Like, even on Sophie's, the wedding day and cheating and finding out, like, is like,
That's like a three strikes because Sophie's out there like, I still love you. We can go to therapy. We can work this out. We can still do this. Nah. And Danny, for a moment, for a glimmering moment, was like, yes, let's do it. And then was like, I'm out. You fucked up. I'm over it. So then, of course, back in the office where Finley still is and where Sophie still works, they go in and Sophie had promised Alice earlier that, you know, no issues were going to happen. It would be fine, blah, blah, blah. So then of course they're both end up in the same room. Sophie goes off and it's like a whole glass, see-through glass office. Whole see-through glass office that Sophie is like, you fucking ruined my life and did this and it's not okay and blah, blah, blah. So then Alice comes in and is like, you too. Sits him down, has a little conversation. Finley's like, you know what? It's fine. Like, I'll quit. I'll leave. Don't worry. Again. Uh-huh. But the moment that you're like, oh yeah, she's going to leave. Guess what happens? What does Sophie do?
No, stay.
Yes.
I want you to stay.
Exactly. And then it cuts off end scene, end episode. But in between that, Bette and Gigi hooked up and Shane hosted another poker night because she wasn't butthurt enough from getting kicked out by Lena Waithe. So had to host her own little poker night.
Okay.
And that was where Bette called Sophie out because, you know, she has Danny's back, called Sophie out about cheating.
Ooh, when Bette's calling you out about cheating.
I mean, then thankfully, because I stopped it, I was like, wow, call that calling the kettle black, but okay. And then Bette was able to sit and say, like, you know, I cheated 17 years ago and I regret.
I don't know why you were about to say I cheated 17 times. I was like, was it that many, Bette? I'm sorry. You know, that's honestly, not that many times. It kind of was.
Like emotionally Carpenter, cheating.
Shout out to that Carpenter Bette cheated with. That was cheated great. With? Yeah. That Carpenter. I never saw her lay a brick, like anything. I never saw her. Yeah. Well, no, there was like a ladder around, I feel like, but shout out to her.
You know, it was one of those things. So that was kind of like the high key summary, where basically a lot of seeds have been planted for stuff to blow up in like the next like 2 to 3 episodes, I feel like. Between the polyamory, between Bette and Gigi, the daughter is doing stuff. Like all of these little things are just going to keep creeping back
up. The daughter's being a teenager. All this. And Tina's back too, right?
Yes. Okay. With the fiance who's getting and they're getting married that summer. All of those fun things. So lots happening.
So much going on. Mm-hmm. Not going on. Third time's a charm, maybe? I mean, I'm not moving this weekend.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see if you're back and then we can have you do the recap and see what happens.
It's going to be so bad. I'm going to be like, so Sophia.
Like,
messing up the names. Like,
Sasha Fierce came in.
Yep. Yeah. All the names. But yeah, okay. So I see where they're going with it. I see what ground they're covering as well and the topics they're getting into.
A lot of identities, a lot of people. Like, I don't hate, again, I love the L word. So, like, the L word Generation Q. I'm really here for the Generation Q. I do have to, like, fight to get through the original L word. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, it's entertaining, but I definitely have to be in, like, a specific mood to watch those episodes. So, L word Generation Q is absolutely doing it for me.
Yeah, I feel like it obviously the original only aged well, probably for a certain group of folks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that. So. I heard the writer of the L Word, Jin Q, just got a deal from Showtime. So, congrats. Deserves. I mean, again, it's hard to do a reboot and everything and it'd be good. So, yeah, shout out.
Mm-hmm. Here for it.
All right. What do we got next?
The next category is queer baiting.
We're back again with queer baiting.
Queer baiting. Cardi B. Lizzo. Mm. Rumors.
Mm. How'd you like the song? I love the video. But
yeah, the video is fire. And the fact that like Cardi was pregnant while recording through it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the song's a bop. I'll be over here bopping.
Yeah. It's got to grow on me. I was like, oh, okay.
It was definitely one of those where I think it was like a good Lizzo empowerment song.
Yeah.
Because she definitely needed to have one of those, like, you know what? All of these people all year long have been dropping in my comments and on my DMs and on my pages and saying all types of shit and spreading all types of rumors, especially the one where they said that she crowd surfed into a crowd and then ended up killing somebody.
Which is wild.
So she needed to have. She needed to have a song like this with a badass bitty like Cardi B in it to kind of just get it out of her system.
Yeah.
So, you know. Like,
and it made sense. It was definitely on brand for both of them. Like, I got
absolutely
it. Conceptually, I got it. And everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I said, the video was great. I mean, they were both beautiful in the video. Like you mentioned, Cardi being pregnant in the video is great. I want more of that. More pregnant women in the video. Or pregnant people in videos. But, oh, and it was like a Hercules kind of shout. Or at least it reminded me of, you know, the animated Hercules. I know there was a lot of imagery in there. But I don't know. The song was just like, I was like,
For all the anticipation.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, was hoping for something. I don't know what I was hoping for. But I wanted it to just be like such a club banger that we could just like go out in style. But I think this was her homage to the fuck you of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And
had to get that off.
Here's how I'm doing this without care about the comments that you have hidden behind your keyboard. Yeah. And I'm totally here for that for her. Like, go ahead, girl.
Yeah.
Still love Lizzo and everything that she does. And I'm still going to bop to this.
Yeah. Love Lizzo. Can't wait for what's coming and everything, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Album but yeah, but what was the full conversation around? People said that for both of them with all of the posts, was it more on Lizzo's side that they thought that it was queer baiting or was it on Cardi's side?
Cardi. Cardi, because Cardi had this video, you know, with Lizzo and everything, and there was like something that came out where Lizzo had said that, like, while they were shooting, Cardi B had whispered like, "I want to eat your pussy" and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, that's on brand for Cardi. And then Normani's really good video, the Wild Side video. I don't know if you saw
that. Yeah,
Normani, it's just,
yeah, I did
video
many times. Many times.
That, yes. So I guess people are just, yeah, starting to call Cardi out for queer baiting and everything, which is interesting because I feel like, well, Cardi has said it. I mean, Cardi has shut down queer baiting and says, "I'm bi." So,
hey guys, I just wanted to remind you, just has a little flag just like pinned up,
yeah,
waving it back and forth real quick.
Yeah. We talked about queer baiting before. Mm-hmm. I know I had that, you know, bad queer opinion about like, we just don't know anymore. Like, it's going to be hard. I think that there's very specific extreme versions of queer baiting that absolutely, like, fuck that. Like, where it is, mm-hmm. like, storylines, and they're really using it to just, like, dangle the proverbial meat in front of us. But it's hard with, like, you know, artists out today. Like, you don't know. You don't know. Like, and Cardi, like, not for nothing, I feel like she's consistently said queer stuff all the time. Obviously, her sister is a lesbian and in a very, very good, very lesbian relationship. She's very, very relationship.
You're like a very good relationship.
Yeah, very good. I was like, very lesbian. Very I'll just say lesbian. I don't know if it's good or not. It's just lesbian. But yeah, like, Cardi is bi. So, and identifies as bi. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't think she's doing this to. Like, and I also think, like, do artists have to do that anymore in the same ways they did when we were growing up, where it was like they were teasing all the time, like that? Like, remember the Madonna, Christina Aguilera, Britney kiss and shit like mm-hmm. that, where it's just like, y'all are teasing us. Or, you know, early on, I remember like Rihanna and some other people would always have these like interviews and like Maxim and all these like raunchy guy mags where they'd be like, mm-hmm. "Oh no, I kissed a girl." Obviously, the "I kissed a girl" generation of stars, but like
there was a solid "I kissed a girl" generation.
Yeah, where it seems like that was like the PR strategy was to mm-hmm. like just mention in an interview that you kissed a girl or you would, and it'd be like, "Oh," and you know. But I feel like, have to do that anymore? Like, really?
I still think we have a few more years of things being queer baiting mm-hmm. or called queer baiting because, one, we still have a ton of issues where it's just, you know, our rights are still being infringed upon. Two, while representation has gotten much better, we still have lots of room to grow and all of that. So I still think, in like a few years, I think we're going to be like up to par where it's more shows that come out are naturally just going to have queer characters in it rather than us having to seek or hope in the fifth episode. We see that brief hand touch with the homosexual tension in the series and stuff. So I think we still have a few more years of people saying like, "No, you're actively queer baiting." But I think we're going to hit a point where it's no longer happening, but we still have so much representation to do when it comes to film and TV that I think, we're going to
see it. Yeah. You're right. I think we have a couple years to go. I guess I think of it in terms of like, is that really driving sales? Like somebody like Cardi has a big queer base like already. Like, so maybe picked up a couple, you know, more of
that's
us.
Why, but like, that's why it's even a term. They know that if they can queer bait something, we're going to flock.
We're there though. Yes. Like most of these stan communities are a lot of queer kids.
For the stan communities.
And that's the backbone. But
it's still the same thing where, you, what was that graduation speech that Beyonce gave?
Mm.
And while we know that the queers stan Beyonce, Beyonce stands the queers, hearing it still when she said, you know, the HRC thing, was it HRC or the Trevor Project, whatever award show she did, that she said it doesn't matter who you take that ass to Red Lobster, this is your right. Or for her to speak up in that graduation speech, it's like sometimes we still need to have like people speaking up in that area. But yeah, it's just like I also think for Cardi's specifically, it is and could be seen as like some sort of biphobia a bit too, because we always forget that because she's in a straight facing relationship. And it's like, mm-hmm. just because she's in that relationship doesn't mean that she's yeah. not still bi. So the fact that people are like queer baiting, it's like, nah, she's actually fam. So yeah. what does that say more about you?
Yeah. Ooh, you exposed yourself.
Yeah. That's how it rolls. Ooh, like, yeah. You can't say that shit. So
yeah. I think that's my thing where it's just like, but you, maybe there is a tendency of people within that that didn't know, you know, mm-hmm. her previous comments or just like how she moved 100%, and everything.
100%.
But then that's my thing of like, we don't know, like for sure.
But people and a lot of our old
framings are in that, like is biphobic. Like you would think it, like old me would have thought the same thing where it's just like, man, she's playing up for the cameras and everything. But mm-hmm. that's like a biphobic view. Like I would have thought, yeah. well, she's married to Offset. She's not queer. And she is queer. So mm-hmm. like, it's just, yeah, I just think it's a, like you said, yeah, maybe a couple years off from it. And I don't doubt, obviously, that queer baiting is happening. It's absolutely happening. But I'm like, some of the people that are being accused, I'm like, no, I don't think so. I don't think right. so. These people move real queer. Queerish and all that. So
They move real queer.
Real like queer. So
coming to the space, yeah. moving all queer and stuff. Mm-hmm. We'd love yeah. to see it.
Yeah. So we'll see. But well, I mean,
if you haven't gone to see the Rumors video, go look it up.
Yeah. It's a good video. Very good video. I love it.
Agreed. Well, our final category is fuck you politics. Let's get some political headlines because we haven't talked about politics in a minute. And sometimes yeah. we just got to make sure that, you know, all of you are staying up to date, making sure that you're paying attention mm-hmm. to local elections and also things that are just
the world.
Crossing the world and what we're doing and taking action. So what are some of our headlines that we have going on here, Chris?
Well, before we get into it, prayers to Haiti, who Full just suffered another devastating earthquake. If you do have the funds or can give supplies to the organizations that are out there and definitely vet them, please send them their way. They already had a lot going on. So prayers to, you know, Haiti and people who have relatives out there or friends out there or, you know, anybody out there. So, and also prayers to Afghanistan. We have fucked up another nation. That is the American way, is to go and occupy an area or create political unrest and instability and then leave. So currently, like today, like wild shit going on in Afghanistan. So prayers to those people mm-hmm. that are over there.
Did you see the meme that I wish I remember who posted it, but it was basically watching people figure out whether to blame Biden or Trump for what's happening in Afghanistan. And it's just a bunch of GIFs of George Bush just sitting here
yeah.
living his life and
yeah,
like, doing stuff and just smiling and bobbing his head and doing all those things.
Like the origin. Okay. Like it was like, we are coming up, which is so weird. Not weird, but it just, God, time flies. You know, next month is going to be the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Just so wild and everything.
That's crazy.
And I hope we could reflect back as a nation how we let our politicians fuck that up thoroughly mm-hmm. and everything. So, and that was Bush. That was Bush, carried on by Obama, then by Trump, then by Biden. So it just, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Bush is definitely like, like he's like washed his hands of it. Like, I don't know what's going he's on. Like,
I am
who retired. Could have done that. So
I am retired.
Yeah. Thanks. So yeah, fuck him forever. Still, I don't care how close he is to Michelle Obama. Mm-hmm. Anyway, speaking of Texas,
what a great transition.
Yeah. On brand for Texas. In yeah. addition to trying to keep people from their biggest cities from having like mask mandates and, you know, getting vaccinations and all the science-based things, Texas has declared gender affirming surgery, which is rarely performed on minors, child abuse, according to them. So Jesus. provided they released a statement promising that any reports of such surgeries taking place will be promptly and thoroughly investigated, potentially mm-hmm. signaling government action against affirming parents of trans youth. So on brand for them, you know, there's been this, you know, anti-gender affirming surgery language and policy out there that, especially the southern states, but, you know, by large, there's a number of areas and states that support that. And Texas is like, no, we're going to do that. We're going to lead the charge with it. So prayers to people who live in Texas. I can't imagine. Texas is getting purple. But it's not getting for my friends that live there. They're like, it is not changing quick enough. Like, they just keep mm-hmm. doing shit. Like, again, from the vaccine or, you know, being anti-vax and mask to, mm-hmm. you know, something like this. Just
like, you have such Texas. Hope in the bigger cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, you hear, like, Austin, so queer friendly and open mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And same with, like, Houston. I know San Antonio is getting more and more mm-hmm. open and wonderful. My grandma posts about it all the time.
Oh, really?
She lives in San Antonio. She's in the politics there. Your grandma lives in San Antonio? Yeah, she does. Nice. And okay. she does, like, politics stuff and all of that. And she's always posting about the great things that San Antonio is doing. So San Antonio's on the come up.
Your grandma's like, see, we're turning it around.
Like, Houston, Dallas. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, man, but because it's such a big-ass fucking state.
Big state.
That all the other little spots. We'll be like, no, nah, see?
Yeah. Yeah. They got sure. some things to do still with their legislators in that state and leadership. Like, eesh. I think they're starting.
The leadership is terrifying.
Leadership is terrifying. Same with Florida. I saw that they have started a recall for Florida governor or recall signatures or whatever. Petition is the word.
Oh, so they want to follow us now.
Yeah, yeah. But for good reasons.
As we're about to do that. But yeah, I mean, yes, accurate there.
Yeah.
Here it's just like, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. Annoying that we have to vote, by the way. But if you do live in California, please make sure you...
Please make sure that you vote.
Yeah, please. Don't forget.
Please do. Like, I literally got... Because I had our housemates downstairs moved. Mm-hmm. I was like, I have all of your voting stuff. Tell me where to mail it, and I will mail it to you.
First class so mail and everything.
You can overnight make sure to vote. Please and thank you.
Yes.
Have a nice
please,
day.
Please. Yeah. Don't ignore this, because that's mm-mm. when some wild shit will happen. And we'll get to Caitlin later. In fuck you straight people news, American voters are more likely to say they won't vote for an LGBTQ plus candidate. Because why?
This is where I'm like, where's Pete?
Right. Pete. But it's so funny that I don't know what the caucasity equivalent for straight people will be, but we will come up with it soon.
You're going to come up with it. Don't you worry.
Don't you worry.
We have to pull the audience and see what they say.
And then just stuff like that. I just think in any like, as a marginalized person, like, yo, the majority, like, your decisions have been so, like, demonstrably bad. Like, for you to mm-hmm. even be like, no, not, you know, it's like, what? Like, whatever. Anyways, after polling thousands of voters in the United States, the United Kingdom, and New Zealand, researchers from Loyola Marymount University and University of North Carolina concluded that voters still penalize queer and trans candidates to varying degrees. Mm. So the biases were the strongest in the United States, of course, where nearly 7% gay candidates were penalized nearly 7% in the US, 5% in the UK, and 3% in New Zealand. Very interesting that they picked these three countries.
Like the English speaking ones?
Yeah, but weird. Yeah. The biases against transgender political hopefuls was even stronger.
Wow. Surprise, surprise.
By margins of 11% for the US, 10.7% in the UK, 8.5% in New Zealand.
But wait, intersectionality.
It's another one. It is another
intersectionality.
One. Especially alarming is the fact that Black queer candidates face additional penalties by a 3.6 margin as compared to their white queer candidates. So this they added this bias could explain why the U.S. only elected its first Black gay congressman last year. Mm-hmm. So
And he had to fight.
He had to fight. He had to fight.
Like, okay? Literally, Stacey Abrams had to come out and be like, look, sit down. We're going to do this vote.
It is something else when you read something like that, where it's just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, it just, that's how it usually goes. But yeah, out here, straight folks still just discriminating and thinking that they, I don't know, have a monopoly on good decision making or governing. I don't know.
Also that.
Yeah. But yeah, those are the headlines for this week. We wanted to touch on some political stuff. There's a lot going
but
on.
But in positives.
So.
92% of LGBTQ plus folks are vaccinated.
Yes. At least one vaccination.
There's a
right?
positive. We had to give you one positive in the fuck you news story because, you know, we would never want to do that for you. Yes, keep getting vaccinated. Folks, please don't follow. The amount of fights that I've had to have with like old friends and stuff about getting vaccinated.
Man,
has been upset, like the arguments and the things and like the reposting, especially like I've had multiple discussions with like white friends who repost black people who are anti-vaxxers to say that, oh, but this person's saying it, so we gotta believe what they're saying because it feels right. And like, this is the person that we're gonna like repost. And it's like, that's a whole nother level of problematic.
Yeah.
That we could get into another day, but it's just like, don't be that person.
It's wild.
Because you think that if you're saying this shitty thing, but then you found a black person who is agreeing with you saying the shitty thing, so you're gonna repost that shitty thing because now the black person does it and it gives you a bit more clout.
That's a problem. They're like, see?
This person said it. Hey. Like, it's okay. And it's like, no. Or like the people who are like, oh, this is going against my rights and this and whatever else. I'm like, bro, you literally have vaccines already in your body because you had to put that shit in your body to go to school.
Man.
Like, the children all have to be vaccinated to go to school.
We don't have chickenpox anymore. Like, the Gen Z, like, they don't even know what chickenpox is. Because they get vaccinated.
They don't know what the fuck that is.
They don't even know. They don't know. I got chickenpox when I was a baby. My mom still has pictures.
I did too.
Just like, ugh,
my pictures are adorable. Awful.
And all that. She was like, you're so miserable. I was like, I bet. It sounds terrible. But yeah, like the misinformation that's out there is wild. Like, it would be one thing, right? If anti-vax people were just like, nah. So it's like quiet about it. Like, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. You know,
but no, they're like, I can't go to the gym. I can't eat in my favorite restaurant.
Or them misquoting or misusing information where they're just like Tuskegee. And I was like, that's not how it works. Like, they didn't inject people with syphilis.
That's not how that works. It's not how it works. Especially when they use the Tuskegee argument.
Oh, God. That's not how it works.
No. I'm like, do your research.
Or people being like, I saw this thing where it's just like, they're like anti-government, but they're also like, it's not FDA approved. It's like, which one do you want?
Right.
I don't get it. Like,
oh, but the FDA hasn't recommended. I'm like, okay, when was this has been a global wide worked on thing with like not new science.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing. And then thinking that they are smarter than these, like, it takes so much to be a doctor. It takes so goddamn
many
much
years.
To be. So many years. So much money.
It's like,
so much money.
If anything, like, y'all are just contributing to the fact that like our hospitals are so full. Like,
yeah.
Like, go ahead and not be vaccinated, but then just don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
Like, honestly, it's not stopping you from going to the grocery store. Like, they're not keeping you out of grocery stores. They're keeping you out of luxurious areas. So it's just like, those are perks. Those aren't rights.
Right.
So get the fuck
out. It just isn't. Or wear masks. Like, they don't want to do anything. Like, a lot of them don't want to do anything. Like, no vax, no mask. Mm-mm. And then they just feel like they should just be out there.
But if you get sick, though, you're going to want to go to the hospital, aren't you?
I saw, I don't know if this was, if this was true, because this was on Twitter, but they were saying, like, there's, like, a good number of nurses that are anti-vax. But then, in the thread, it was just like, you know, it doesn't take as much to be a nurse. It's some, you know, nursing positions. So it's not like, you know, with the doctors and everything. But people, if you're not going to get vaxxed, fine. But don't spread misinformation and wear a mask. Like, you have to pick one. Like, it's just like, this isn't a new thing. Like, this happens in human history. It's happened before. Yep. I promise you, if there was something,
they used to wear masks that were like 6 feet distance.
Yeah, and you really got fined. Like, they really fined people back in the day for it. Like, no, you're gonna wear this goddamn mask. But yeah, I don't understand it. Like, I really don't understand it at all. Like, you can't. I don't know what they want out of this. And then also, like, sometimes they're just like, I don't know, happy that, or want the vaccine to not work, or like mocking the vaccine. It's just like, what do you want?
It's like, I don't understand
what
the mindset.
What is your problem?
So, I don't understand the mindset.
I don't get it.
Here we are.
Anyhow.
Well, let's answer some
questions. For people. Yeah. Am I a Bad Queer is our advice segment. Send your questions to badqueers@theherapp.com to be featured. All right. Let's go to the first one. This is from Freddie. Freddie's a cool name for person, just a person. I think it's just a cool name. Am I a bad queer for not coming out to my kids? I am polyamorous and pansexual. My oldest daughter, who is 16, and I have a very open and honest conversations about my relationship. But my youngest daughter, who is 12, is not very open to the conversation and consistently makes it known that she is not a fan and wants me to be a regular mom. I just want to be a cool mom. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Mean Girls.
As you should. Man.
I just want to be a cool mom who is just open with her kids about relationships and their choices. Freddie. You're not a bad queer for not coming out to your kids. Your youngest just has to come around when she's ready. But also, like, maybe you don't need to tell her too much and everything. Because... you know, 12 years old, she's going to be changing rapidly, or is changing rapidly, her views and all that. Like, all you could do is continue to live your life openly and honestly and everything. Like, again, you don't have to have conversations with her about that, you know. But your 16-year-old, you know, seems open. So, I don't know. I am like, I'm trying to resist being like the black auntie and being like, this ain't your business. But
right.
Like,
my initial comment was like, well, I guess you know who the favorite is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Very much so. She's like, I barely had you. Now I'm playing with the younger one. But yeah, outside of being like, all right, their business. I would just continue to live your life, you know, keep your relationships, open and honest and everything. And if they want to talk, they want to talk. But also, like, I don't think you necessarily have to have those conversations like right now. Like, you have to have them right now. Like, things are going to change. They're going to grow up and everything. So yeah, maybe you might have to shelve it for now, but it's not going to be forever and everything. I wouldn't change up what you do because you pay the bills. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're grown. So, you know,
yeah. I love that you also want to give like the options to your kids to show that, you know, not just these stereotypical relationships.
These new parents
want to happen. You know, it's so great. It's so great. I love to see it. And, you know, maybe you can take it into a context that is outside of your personal thing, because I think kids just hate seeing their parents be any sort of affectionate to each other, period. You know, it's always that like, ew, gross, stop doing that, blah, blah, blah. Now you're doing it with more than one person, like all of that. So maybe just like introduce a consistent, if you have like your primary partner, and then maybe keep the others away. Give that like consistency. And then as she gets older, maybe your oldest daughter might have those conversations with her to get her to better understand what's happening. Maybe your youngest daughter was hanging out with one of those asshole parents, and one of those asshole parents made a comment, or one of those asshole kids made a comment that's like, oh my God, your parent dates more than one person? And she just hasn't figured out the cool comeback yet. So, you know, lots of extenuating factors. Maybe it's something that you both sit down and talk to. Maybe that's something that you go to family therapy for and figure out how to have that discussion. So many options. So, but, you know, sometimes you just got to wait till she's older and go from there. Okay, next up we have Angelica. Angelica says, am I a bad queer? But not really being a bad queer. I recently joined her and typically have had really great conversations with people. This one girl seemed too good to be true. We took our conversations from her to Snapchat, and that was where she sent me an unsolicited topless photo. Scandal. I really didn't know what to do with it and felt pressured to return the favor. I don't want this to move quickly and still want to talk to her. How do I respond? Thanks, Angelica. Mm. Well, first off, you don't have to free the nipple unless you don't want to. It is there. Mm. The option is there, but you do not have to. And if it's unsolicited, also, like, let her know.
Yeah.
Let her know. Like, I'm not even going to say what I was thinking. I'm going to say it because that's terrible advice. But it was something around, like, right. You could have enjoyed it, but not really because it was unsolicited. If you want to move slowly, you need to let that person know that you would rather discuss having those pictures sent or when is the time and things like that. Some people are just, like, very open and willing to putting that out there. But when it's unsolicited, it's unsolicited. So you have to let them know that, like, hey, like, I do want to keep talking to you, but I would prefer this not to happen, or no, thank you, or, like, I do like you, but if this is just what you're looking for, then I'm probably not it. And you might have to be open to the part where maybe they're just looking for a hookup or sex or sending unsolicited photos to a person, and that's just not your thing.
Hmm.
So open communication, let them know. Unfortunately, it does happen on apps. Not saying that it's okay, because it's not. People don't send unsolicited pics. I was like, women sending women unsolicited pics is a thing.
Yeah.
Because you didn't ask
for it. And just as bad. How it happens in the hetero world.
It is. So be aware. Let the people know.
Yeah. This was definitely more for you with this unsolicited.
You're like, what does that look like?
Yeah, what is that even? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to think, like, what that would even be. Like,
it's, if I was still dating. There's a lot. There's a lot. That I've had many an unsolicited body parts of all shapes and sizes that have been sent to me. And I'm just like, and before it's, when you first started to receive them, you initially think, like, oh, this is what's supposed to happen on dating apps and things. But now the children are having the conversation saying, no, this is not okay. And it's like, that's correct.
Yeah.
It is not okay. Just like unsolicited dick pics, unsolicited tit pics, vag pics, ass pics, any sort of pics. Yeah. If they're unsolicited, that's the whole premise of it. So don't be okay with it. Let them know that it's not okay. If they continue, then that gives you the answer that you've been looking for. And you just block them and keep it moving. I'm glad that you've had other really nice conversations on her, and hope that this one ends up working out in your favor. And hopefully helps the other person to not be like a serial unsolicited topless photo person.
Yeah. Yeah, that is sage advice. Don't have much to pull from here, but yeah, I would imagine it would either be
that whole era.
Black or white with that, where it's just like, either I probably wanted to see it and it was like, oh, surprise, it came sooner than I thought, or I would probably not want to talk to you after because I didn't want it. So, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if y'all are able to still pick up and talk, then, you know, go ahead. But I would probably be like, hey, don't do that. Like,
please ask. I'd probably be the one that, like, ghosts. And be like, oh,
yeah. I mean, that is a ghostable offense, I would believe, because that's kind of weird and all that.
Like Homer Simpson, where I just disappear into the bushes. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah, completely just ghost. Yeah, that's weird.
I love that you can only think of this in a theoretical sense because you didn't have to go through this.
Exactly. I'm like,
why would you send it?
Where you're just like, all right, I'm just, no, fuck it. I'm just going to send it. Like,
yeah, no, like, what's literally the thought actually, process? Like, what the thought of process it? Of is like, oh, this is like what people want. So I'm going to take this really hot photo of myself and then send it to them and be like,
and then it's like, time of day. Like, when did Angelica get this? Was she at work? Was she in a Zoom meeting?
It
was like,
that is a solid question.
Like, I have so many questions like that where it's just like, yeah. Like, what was the conversation before this landed? Either way, it's just like, that's so just, I couldn't imagine being a person to be like, nah, I'm just going to send it. Fuck it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. It's time. I'm doing it. Doesn't matter.
You're like, now or never. And it's like, never.
Right. Like, never. Don't do that. So.
It's like, it's okay. There are things for that now. But thanks, Angelica. Yeah. Hold your ground, girl.
Like, even if I wanted it, I'd be a little disappointed where it's just like, damn, I didn't even work up to it. I had a game plan.
Like,
man,
you just like ruined the whole surprise. Like, I can earn this. I can earn this.
Yeah, here we exactly. Are. Sheesh. All right. Hope that helps, Angelica.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our last question comes from Lee. Like, Lily is my middle name. So Lee asks, am I back queer for being more excited about the upcoming Tampa Bay's lesbian docuseries than the new season of The L Word?
The disrespect.
That's funny. I just want my queer drama to feel more real or as real as it can get.
It's a reality TV show.
I know The L Word is the holy grail of queer women's shows, but I'm ready to watch some real queer mess and lurk on the profiles of the Tampa Bays. Thanks.
I mean, yeah, that tangibility I can understand, but also it's a reality TV show and reality TV is not real. So
it says, we'll see what happens with this docuseries where it's just, you don't know what this is about to be. It might be trash. Like,
it's
T-rash. So,
what do you forecast from this show? Ugh. Because first of all, who picked Tampa?
Tampa. That part, first and foremost. First of all. Tampa. Have you been to Tampa?
I have been to Tampa.
Okay. Because I've never been to Tampa. Area. I was like, is it cute? Is that queer?
But like, I feel like there's definitely more queer women in Tampa than there is in, like, Miami or anything.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Does Orlando have the most? Because I hear, like, Orlando is the
Orlando kind of has the hub.
Oh, wow.
You know, Disney.
Shout out to Disney. Yeah. It's like, yes. I don't know what to think of it. I'm going to give it a watch because I do enjoy... Excuse me.
Wow,
I do
enjoy real bass there.
I was about to burp. I do enjoy queer reality shows. Like the real L Word was like fun to watch after the L Word. I never really got into that. Really? I thought that was interesting. I was like, oh, okay.
I didn't. Look, I was just like, all right.
Being real queer and all that. But we'll see. I'll see how it goes. I'll probably let some clips and some episodes air and see. Check the temperature. Like, I'm not like, oh, I can't wait to see Tampa Bay. Like, no.
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing really appealing on the outside of it. But I'm sure it's Amazon Studios picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think that they have good judgment with the...
And a good budget to help with
it. No idea. Yeah. What is this about to be?
Wow.
So...
I'm more excited about the Tampa Bay's and the L Word.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a specific group that's going to love the L Word and I can't hate you for it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that's my show. Mm-hmm. But I am interested, especially with all the backlash that it's gotten for not being diverse.
Yeah. Then that's
like, after really all this time, you still haven't learned? And I'm like, well, it's coming from Amazon, y'all. Like, what do you expect?
that part. But I feel kind of the same way about Tampa Bay's as I feel with L Word, where it's like, no, the L Word is definitely more diverse, but I'm still like, I'm here for some queer mess. Like, Like, it's, I'm still waiting for the predominantly black and brown, like, series to kind of route. Like, 20s season 2 is going to come out. I know there's, again, some things that have come out, but like on BET Plus, that show is escaping me right now. But yeah, like, I just want to see more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just like, part of the L Word for me hang up is like, what more queer mess, like, can they cover that I don't know or see? So I don't think you're back queer for it. I mean, it is still a queer show. Yeah, let's see how it goes, though. Queer.
It's fine. Yep.
Let's see how it goes. Because it might be trash.
I mean, I feel like that's the goal, awful. Is that it will be trash.
But I mean, trash in the, like, get this off the air. Not like, that, you know, sense. Atlanta Housewives, where it's like, ooh, this is, you know.
You're like, I'll stick around for this mess type.
This might be like, please remove it from the platform.
Get it out.
Like, take it off, like, now. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see, Lee. All right. Well, that was our advice segment, Am I Bad Queer? Send your questions to badqueers@theherapp.com to be featured.
Okay. What type of bad queers will we be if we didn't have unpopular queer opinions? And so my bad queer opinion this week comes from, like, personal experience around being, like, fresh, dipping my toe into the long-distance relationship world. And it's really funny because before... That was beautiful. Before, I had asked a few friends who are currently or have been in long-distance relationships about their communication styles. And we're like, what do you suggest? All of these things. And it's so funny to hear how deeply fervent people are, like, this is how we did it. So this is how it should be done because it worked. And it's so fascinating to hear the range of how many times people talk today to how little they talk. So they could say like, we just needed something to talk about. So we only FaceTime 2 to 3 times a week. If you FaceTime daily, you're crazy. Or other people who are like, no, you need to FaceTime a minimum of twice a day for it to be good and things like that. And it's just, it ranges so much, but it's so funny to hear how 100% sure everybody is in their suggestions. And I'm just here to say the limit does not exist when it comes to the type of communication you and your partner have in a long distance relationship. And to not feel, you know, to not feel insecure about it when it doesn't fit what somebody else has told you. Or if you tell them how much you all communicate and the other person's like, oh my God, that's so much. I could never do that with my partner. That's for them. That's not for you.
Yeah.
You figure out the cadence that works for your partner, as long as it's not like every hour. That's the only time. That's my only caveat. But hey, if that's a thing where it's just like, shoot me a text on the hour, check in, do whatever. If that works for you, then great. As long as it's still healthy communication and you both are happy and not stressed out about it, go from there.
Woof. Yeah.
There's no run.
There's right no way. Limit on there.
There's no limit. The limit does not exist to the type
and
of communication.
Things are going to change too. Like you could have things in place and then work and life gets busy and you got to adjust it. So,
yeah,
you
know, like that's supposed to be my life. Like we have a schedule, we're working, we're doing well. And then I'm going to get ready to be traveling and do stuff and be in different time zones. And it's going to
switch our schedule. Queer nomad.
Living that nomad life. Yes. We'll update you guys. It's
really
on that
queer.
One.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that should be its own segment. Queer nomad. Where in the world is Shayna? It's going to be like a Carmen Sandiego thing.
Yeah, where are we recording from today? I'm on the streets.
Right.
Catch me outside. Catch me outside.
On the streets. Yeah. Just in random places. Yeah, that's going to be cool.
This is going to be great. Yeah. I'm pretty pumped about it. So, might be coming to your city near you.
Yeah.
We can hang
on
out.
Tour. And you're like, I'm here and, you know, I don't know where you'd be, but you'll probably change your accent and probably act it out.
And be like, whatever here are way. The queers that I have seen in my brief stint in Insert City here.
Yeah. Shayna on tour.
That's going to be great. Oh my gosh. Yes. Done. Yeah, I will actively go and do that and pay attention and tell you.
Yeah.
From my brief.
My only ask is that you record the cities that you go to. And at some point, whenever you're done. If you're ever done, who knows? Mm-hmm. You're a nomad.
Who knows?
You have like a tour shirt, like where you went.
Just I like that every time I go on like one of these big ass trips, you just want me to have a tour shirt.
I do want, I just, it'd be nice. Like,
all right. And then when we do our actual Bad Queers first tour, that will be the order that we go on.
Yes.
And that's how we're setting that up. Done. Done and done.
We're like, we're kicking off in Albuquerque.
just random. I was like, starting, yes, the southern part of the U.S., and then we'll move back up. That's basically it. So you're welcome.
That's so funny. All right. I don't know if we talked about this before, but especially since we're in the middle of fuckity-fuck shit with the California recall election, I just want to remind folks that you could leave transphobia out of Caitlyn Jenner harassment.
Yeah.
There is plenty to go after Caitlyn about.
There's lots of content.
Lots. Some of it she just gives. I don't know if you saw last week.
Oh no.
She has like a burner Twitter, forgot to switch over and agreed with herself. Yes.
What?
Yes. That happened.
What?
Yes.
No way.
I was like, I don't know if it was her. I don't know. It was like she was like agreeing with her. It's so funny. I love when politicians and just public figures do that. Just anybody who has a burner account, like agreeing with themselves or like sticking up for themselves.
Yeah.
That's the funniest shit to me. You just forget. And it's like, oh, look at you sticking up for yourself.
That is hilarious.
But yes, there is absolutely a lot to go after Caitlyn about her policies. Her policies. Jesus.
Policies.
That alone. Her privilege. Misgendering her is not it. Or just, you know, being transphobic is not it. Nope. I know. And she absolutely opened herself up to criticism. But you don't have to be transphobic about it. You don't have to misgender her. There is a lot to go after. And please stick to that. Because again, like, if you're gonna put yourself in this political arena with like shitty politics, then there's more than enough to go after her about. So like, leave it to that. Like, leave the harassment to you. Harassing her about her politics, mm-hmm. which is fine. And all that. I'm all for people harassing and bullying bad politicians. I am pro bully bad politicians, mainly conservatives. But, you know, leave the transphobia out of that. I hate seeing that where it's just like, that doesn't give you excuse. So, like, people will look for that and they'll be like, well, and it's like, no, like, there's too much material to actually go after. So,
yeah. Facts. I like that. Yeah, I have nothing else to add.
You gotta look up that tweet. I was like,
I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna look it up now.
It reminded me, do you remember last year there was a white politician that forgot to switch over from his burner account? And he literally wrote, this is the one where it was like, it ended up being like, he tried to act like he was Patti LaBelle's nephew.
Yeah.
And he started off by like, I am a black gay man.
Yes. This
white guy in the profile picture. And it's like, sir.
We have so many questions.
Sir.
So many questions.
And then he was saying like his explanation was shitty. And then like, yeah, that was a rabbit hole. Like people were like, holy shit, it's Patti LaBelle's nephew. That was like in the mix of it. So I love when that happens. That's like one of my favorite things on the internet. Is and when politicians honestly, forget.
Black Twitter will go in on research. Yeah. Honestly, the people on Twitter, period, Black Twitter on a whole nother level, but people on Twitter, period, once they see something that's like slightly off,
the amount that the fingers start typing, they will find you. Man, and
do that. That's crazy.
They do the Googles.
What a throwback to that. Thank you that for was, that memory.
That was very funny. That was so funny.
I'm and ready for changing
their bios to saying that.
I'm so ready for the flashbacks in like 20 years when it's like, hey, remember when?
There's a really good article. I forgot the guy's name, but I'll send it to you to watch on your journeys. He was doing a multi-part series on Black Twitter and everything from like, you know, 2009 or 2008, the start of it and on. But great memories with that and all that. And even with the Delta variant, shout out to your meme of Finley and fall plans. But
I am so proud of that meme.
That's really good.
So proud of it.
It was really good.
Thought of it all in my brain space here and was like, let me put it out here. And I beat one of, shout out to God, I'm such a dyke, follow them. I beat them to posting it and found out that their partner was the one that came up with it for that. And I was so excited. I was like, did I? And that brings me such honor because they post such great content.
I
was just like,
yeah,
oh my gosh, I've made it. This is my one contribution and I'm not going to take anything away from them and their page. But shout out to God, I'm such a dyke. Follow them at God, I'm such a dyke. And we're going to, that's a perfect transition.
There was one that was Scarlet, by the way. That was why I brought that up. Scarlet, ooh, that you know, the one. Scarlet takes the tumble.
Yes. Where they and it was like her and the table.
The table.
Did Kaylin Allen, I think, posted that one.
Oh, that's who it is. Yeah, that was so funny.
He went on a spree of the ones. And I was just like, thank you for pulling it back to the things that we appreciate, because if you don't know,
shout out to Scarlett, who knows where she's at now.
Who knows? She's probably still bless her heart. Tumble.
There's like no tables in her
still
home.
Still tumbling.
no coffee tables in that home at all. Not a chance.
But yes. So. Well, let's go ahead and give shout outs to our faves. This week, my shout out goes out to Coach K. Came across Coach K's page because they had a piece of content that just was a shot to the heart. And I wasn't ready. Coach K is a queer spirituality coach here to help our queer community heal from religious trauma and experience spiritual freedom. So you can follow them at Queer on Purpose.
Oh, I love that.
They will be over here speaking to your soul, into your soul, into the heartstrings and the chest and all of it. So follow Coach K.
Nice. Well, my shout out is to Dev and Tink Miller of Two Beautiful Souls. That's T-O-O, Beautiful Souls. That is a Black queer love and lifestyle influencer page. Follow Two Beautiful Souls on IG and on YouTube.
Amazing.
Love our Black queer influencers.
We do. We do. Mm-hmm. We'll shout you out all the time. So if you have any more, send it to us. Our DMs are open. We answer them. Mm-hmm. We talk to y'all. So hit us up. And in the meantime, we will see you next week.
Take care. This podcast was brought to you by the Her app, the largest LGBTQ plus dating and community app for women, trans, and non-binary folks. Be sure to download the app in the Apple Store or Google Play Store.
Shout out to Sienna Liggins for our amazing soundtrack and Cesar for making us sound like we know what we're doing. It's me again. Can we talk about things? I'm so sorry that I'm Hello?